I'm a big fan of the that 70s show.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a fan of Boston out there.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I lived in Worcester for a short period of time.
You lived in Worcester, Don?
Worcester.
You poor guy.
Yeah.
That was,
you know,
very...
and then, but, you know, after prison, things are working out okay.
Worcester's not exactly the paradise of the world.
Yeah. No, well, you know, as a kid, what did I know? You know, sweating down the, you know, the fact that my parents sent me down plummeting, you know, sledding off the side of a mountain. You know, I didn't know. I thought that was a good thing.
Were you born in Massachusetts?
No, in New York.
Well, too bad.
We lived there short period of time.
New York, New York.
New York.
Mm. So now you moved to California?
Yeah, I'm in California.
I mean, when you moved there when you were younger to...
I lived in the South, lived in California, kind of moved all around a lot.
So what was your first time in showbiz? What did you do for the first time?
Oh, God. Well, my first job was on a movie of the week called Outrage with Robert Culp. It was in 1973. And... yeah, that was my first gig. It was about 3 months in.
Outrage.
Yeah, Outrage.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a movie of the week. And then I auditioned for Welcome Back, Kotter, and it was kind of down to the wire. I was up for the part of Epstein.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. Bobby Hedges got it. And he and I ended up in the streets of San Francisco together. So I've been around for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at you. You've done a lot of things from Empty Nest to Deep Space Nine. And even Ellen. What did you do on Ellen?
Oh, God, that was before, actually, before they called it Ellen, the first incarnation, I don't know, These Friends of Mine or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was called, yeah.
Yeah, that's when I did the show, and I played a refrigerator repairman. That's when Ari Gross was on the show, and, you know, before they had the big changeover,
yeah.
And then, you know, so all the neighbors moved away or, you know, were killed in a horrible writing accident.
So if you played a repairman, you must have got to show your ass crack then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you got to because, you know, you got to step up and give them what they want. It's what America needs.
One of my favorite shows of all times is 90210, and you actually were a guest on that show.
Yeah.
What'd you play on that?
I played a psychiatrist, but I had auditioned for every part in the world on that show. I'd been in to audition for 5 different times. And I could never get the job. It was either I was a cop or I was a sleazy lawyer or a record producer, something. And finally, this part for the psychiatrist came up, and I had this perfect sweater. I had this Judd Hirsch sweater from Ordinary People, you know, the epitome of what you would expect a psychologist to wear. And I wore that thing in, and the first thing they said before I read is, wow, that's a great sweater. I said, look, guys, I'm getting a little tired, you know, of seeing you people without you giving me a job, so you can have the damn sweater if you want. Just, you know, I'll come with it. I'll say the lines. You know, just give me the job. So I got it.
Where did they actually, where did you play?
I played the psychiatrist.
The psychiatrist?
That's right, yeah.
You ended up getting that. That's cool.
The shrink.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, who were you a shrink to on the show?
Oh, God, what was it? Brian?
Brian Austin Green?
Brian Austin Green, yeah. He
David.
Was going through some kind of drug problems or something.
Yeah, David was addicted to some kind of medication or something.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was helping him out and, you know, then just give him a little hit of weed and he was on his way.
There you go. You actually became a regular on the show. I used to watch every once in a while the show Time Cop.
Oh, wow.
You were a tough guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was the cop, the commissioner, the big captain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun. It was short-lived, but we had a good time.
What did you think of the when that came out, it really got panned by the critics, royally.
Oh, got killed.
Yeah.
So, well, first of all, you know you're in trouble when you go to the big Critics Association thing, and we were on ABC, and there was no poster of our show at the big thing. That's your first hint that, you know, you may not be back for the rest of the season.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah, no, it was really walloped. I think it was a great idea. I think the idea of you know, things happening in your life. I think there was other ways to take the show that would have made it work really great. Because I think the idea of having somebody's life, and then if you take a turn to the left, you know, your life turns out one way and you go to the right and, you know, something else happens.
Mm.
And being able to go back and, you know, do you fix the things that you know that were, you know, evil or bad? Or if you do that, then what happens after it? You know, so there were interesting. Unfortunately, the show wasn't as interesting.
Well, there was a show that was kind of similar, in my opinion, was the Quantum Leap show.
Yeah.
And I loved that show.
Yeah.
And it did a little bit better than Time Cop did.
Yeah, I think they did better to get into some of the, you know, psychological aspects of it.
You were a series regular on two other shows, Bless This House and The Man and the Family. Sorry, I'm not familiar with either one.
Yeah, well, Bless This House was Andrew Dice Clay and Kathy Moriarty. That was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the show that brought Andrew back to, you know, brought him to television. And
that's right, he went mainstream.
Yeah, he went mainstream, and, you know, CBS put a lot of effort into it. Actually, Les Moonves, who was at the time at Warner Brothers, is now the head of CBS. Was championed that show, and then Les went over and headed up CBS in our first season, and Bruce Helford, who does Drew Carey, we started out the same time Drew Carey did, and the show was supposed to really take off, and, you know, things were going to happen for us, and Kathy and Andrew were great, and it just, we went 17 episodes, and then it went belly up.
I did see that show, actually. It was not a bad show.
Yeah, we were you know, we were doing pretty good, and you know, it was a changeover show for you know, Andrew to get away from his you know, Dice Man character.
Well, the interesting thing was that all the Dice Man fans hated Bless This Mess, the Bless This House,
yeah,
and the people who you know, that he tried to convert to like were all like, well, that's, he's always going to be that. So he really couldn't win in the deal.
Yeah, you know what was tough is it was the highest rated pilot that CBS had ever had, which, you know, it was like, okay, well, you know, you don't know if people are telling you the truth, but it's like, okay, great. Mm. But they would show to people who were already, you know, there. They wouldn't ask them, oh, do you want to see a show with Andrew Dice Clay and Kathy Moriarty? They would just show them the show. And,
mm-hmm.
and even the people that really didn't like his character, the Dice Man character, when they saw the pilot, they said, oh, well, he's not like that at all. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
But getting people to tune in, and that was a harder task.
It was a little bit more tough.
Yeah, but once people saw it, then they said, oh, you know, this is great. It's really funny. I mean, they were trying to go for a feeling of the Honeymooners, kind of a modern-day Honeymooners kind of a feeling.
Mm.
And, you know, he and Kathy sure have that going.
Talking with Don Stark, and, of course, he can be seen every single Tuesday night at 8:30 on That 70s Show, where he plays Bob. And that character of yours is, you know, boy, you're going to have some wild stuff coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, first of all, my hair is fabulous. You know, I've got to have that fluffy hair day in my Tom Jones pants. You know, I love the clothes in the 70s. You know, it's like packing a 10-pound sausage into a 5-pound casing. You know, it's like, okay, let's see how much. All right, that's fine. Now clear. Everybody move. But it's fun. We have some interesting stuff. My wife and I in the show is played by Tanya Roberts, and I have had marital problems all through the years. And this episode that's coming up on, you know, this week is where I've had enough and I'm going to move on, and I decide to walk out, and I go stay next door with my next door neighbors, the Foremans. And, you know, they kind of don't relish the idea of Bob being around all that much, so they'll do anything to get me back home.
And of course, you and Midge, who is played by Tanya Roberts, I understand you're going to explore some alternative lifestyle stuff.
Oh yeah, well, you know, we've already gotten into we're doing some episodes where we're both dating. We go to Red's birthday party and we both show up with dates at the same, you know, party.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dating other people, and we kind of alluded in the last episode of last season to a swingers party, but I don't think the country was ready to see Bob and Midge swinging yet. But, you know, it was a very confusing time where people were trying to find themselves, and I think that's our job in the show, is to explore that kind of adult confusion. You know, the kids have it, and then the Foremans are going through all the other things that are changing around them, and their financial situation and life just becoming something that they don't really understand.
And it's interesting you were married, of course, in the show to the lovely Tanya Roberts, who we all remember from Charlie's Angels and some of the great, she's a beautiful, beautiful woman, still is. Must be kind of fun to be married to her, even in TV land.
Oh, I hate it. I just hate coming to work every day and looking at her. I mean, you know, it's just so horrible. Yeah, it's a tough job, and you know, but somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, there's a lot of actually cute young ladies around there, too. We had one on the show the other day, Lisa Robin Kelly.
Ah, yeah. Oh, Lisa's great.
Yeah, there's some really nice cast members.
Pardon me?
It's a good cast.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Everybody, everybody really got into their parts, and the writing on the show is great. We're very lucky.
You are, and I Fox has really, I must say, given an incredible push to the show.
Yeah, I think it's you know, Doug Herzog, who's you know, the head of the network, and Peter Roth, who started us off, were really looking to find that that voice, and you know, we have some stuff on the show that's edgy, but it's funny, and it's true to the period, and I think people hopefully will, you know, just keep watching, because it's fun.
It is fun, and it does bring us back to those days of disco and pot smoking and all those good things we all miss when we get older and settle down.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure I miss disco as much.
But come on, you know, when they still play disco music, you can't help it. Your feet start tapping, you start moving. You know, you want to deny that you like it.
Yeah.
You want to. But deep down inside, when the radio's going and you're in the car and you're by yourself, you're singing a little Donna Summers to yourself. Now, fess up. Tell the truth.
Actually, I went to see her at Foxwoods.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, she put on a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she's from around Boston area, you know.
Ah,
and I'm
okay.
Not talking about Worcester either. I'm talking about...
Worcester. You're talking about
Dorchester.
Boston.
She's from Dorchester.
I have to go over there and pack the cap and mack it.
That's right.
Yeah.
When's the last time you were in Boston?
God, it's been years. Last time I was at Quincy Mackett.
Really?
Yeah.
Tourist trap number one.
Yeah. That's where I got taken when I was out in New York. But
now, in real life, you married?
No, I have. I'm not married. I'm single, but I have got two lovely children. I've got two little girls, and those are the delight of my life. And they keep me going.
How old are they?
6 and 8.
Oh, cool.
We do all kinds of, you know, Indian princess stuff. Where you,
yeah.
You know, we heard of that stuff where you dress up like a, you know, Chief Meshuggah, and
you
go around and do all that stuff. So
I have a 5.5-year-old and an 8-year-old myself. So I am right with you.
It's the best. That you know, being with them and seeing life through their eyes, that's the best it can be.
Yeah, I think dress up though does get a little much after a while, and house. You only play it so many times before you go berserk.
Yeah, but then that's what I do for a living, you know. I'm going to play dress up, so, you know, I said, come on, Daddy, come on, you know, let's go do that thing.
Now, anything else you're working on, like a hiatus? Are you doing any movies?
I'm going to look to do some movies. I've got some stuff. I guess there's a movie that I did not too long ago that's, I guess, out on cable with Patrick Swayze called Letters from a Killer. And just going to look to do some other stuff and some voiceovers and just keep the success of the show going. And, you know, we're going to be running, doing new episodes all the way through April, and that's when the hiatus will happen. And, you know, I'll look to go off and do some other movies and maybe do some more dramatic work, split it up, because I did a lot of, you know, drama on TV and in films, played a lot of bad guys.
Talking to Don Stark, who's from, of course, That 70s Show, which was voted one of the best television shows of 1998 by Entertainment Weekly, and one of the 10 best shows you shouldn't miss by Us Magazine. And, of course, PNP Network called it last year the best new show. And that's, of course, the kiss of death. No, actually.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a moving van. They're coming into my dressing room. Whoa, what the hell is this?
No. We also called Ally McBeal the year before that. And,
beautiful.
She's done okay.
Well, we love you there in Boston.
I think Fox is actually doing the right thing. They seem to be doing some pretty good stuff.
Well, you know, they're taking chances, and they're you know, they're finding their voice, and they're putting it out there, and you know, I think they're not trying to be like everybody else. They're just trying to come up with creative programming and new stuff, and I think they're doing a great job.
We just actually got an email here, so I'm going to read it to you. They want to know what the day is like on the set of That 70s Show, how long you had to work, and things like that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm actually there right now, And what'll happen? This is the first day of the week. So at 10:30 in the morning, we'll do a reading of the new script in front of all the writers, all the producers, the people from Fox. And that'll last about half an hour, and then they go off and they start thinking immediately how they're going to change the script and what needs to be changed and what needs to be done. And then we go off to our dressing rooms for about a half an hour, check in with wardrobe, and then the director comes back after getting all the notes, and he knows if there's going to be certain scenes that are going to be cut and what they want to look to change. And we start rehearsing what it is that we know that's going to kind of remain the same, and we start blocking it right away. We get on our feet with the scripts and do it. And, then Monday's usually an early day. And then Monday night, we get new scripts. So all the things that they were going to change, they change. Go through the same thing Tuesday. Tuesday night, we do a run-through for the producers. They make all their changes again, and we get a new script Tuesday night. Do the same thing Wednesday, and then by Wednesday night we've done the show for the executives of Fox again. The show is all put together and pretty solid. And then Thursday we pre-film some scenes and we block them all with cameras and pre-shoot two or three scenes. And then Friday we come back, we rehearse again with the cameras, and then Friday at 7 o'clock we perform in front of the audience.
Well, any of the people in the cast have problems remembering the lines?
No, actually, this cast, I mean, I've been on shows where it's brutal and it really kills it, but this cast is really amazing. They work really hard, the kids and the adults, and there aren't too many flubs in this show.
It's interesting because, I mean, you have a lot of young kids on there, and the youngsters, a lot of times they're relatively new to the business, but I guess...
They're young, they still have their minds, you know. They can still remember those things. It's easy. They can party all night and they can still come back in. The older folks, it takes a little bit longer with them.
Well, Tanya Roberts. I wouldn't mind going back to her, coming home to her every day for work.
Oh, yeah, it's just horrible. It's just a dreadful experience.
Did you ever watch her in Charlie's Angels years ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
She was a great substitute angel.
Yeah, she was.
Does anybody harass her about that at all?
No. You can't give Tanya any stuff.
No?
She'd give it right back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's great.
She's tough, huh?
Yeah. Tanya and I, once I came home and we were both on, I did a movie years ago called Switchblade Sisters, which Quentin Tarantino re-released. You know, all the movies that you'd love to have people see, he decided to pick that one. And so I'm on in this low B movie on TV, and Tanya was doing, one of her movies that was equally as as embarrassing. And so there it was. We were side by side on cable, as we are, on their show. So
that's funny.
It was kind of fun.
That 70 Show every Tuesday night at 8:30 on Fox Station. Check out your affiliated near you. And Dawn Stark, thank you so much for coming on, and continued good luck playing the wild swinger Bob with
here.
Take care.
You too, Mark. Thanks.
Bye, Dawn.
Bye.
Dawn Stark right here on PNP Network.com. Bye-bye.